Hello, welcome to Jory the Monkey King with myself, Kweeba, and my friend MJ.
Hello.
And my cat, Asog, you may occasionally hear, but probably not. She's usually fairly quiet. But she's with me, licking her arm at the moment. Or I guess her front leg rather. That's it. If you hear a quiet cat noise in the distance, that's MJ, not actually my cat.
It's a fun stim. The anime kids ruined it, but it's a fun stim. I enjoy meowing, so sue me.
Okay. Anyway, I want it before we get into chapter 64, I want to bring back up something I kind of brushed over in the last episode because I and didn't like find the time to look into it properly, which is Ninehead's weapon was this kind of spade with a flat shovel head on one end and a crescent on the other end. I tried to look into it a bit more. There's more sources of information about it. We usually called the monk's spade in English online, but from kind of sites that I don't particularly trust to be reliable sources of information. I mean, I normally just would link to Wikipedia for stuff. But in this case, there's like websites kind of trying to show up, like, I don't know, doing kind of Asian mystical martial arts stuff or just like selling replicas of them and things like that. And there's a
Oh
Wikipedia
God, you had
article.
to talk to the sword people?
Yeah, or the shovel people, I guess, in this
Well,
instance.
the shovel people, yeah. Sorry, one of my best friends is a sword guy. I shouldn't be. Hashtag not all sword guys.
I have a nylon sword. I joined a fencing club in 2019, and for reasons have did not have not gone back to the I didn't go back to for several years, and now I have changed name and moved and no longer have a car, so several factors have made it awkward for me. I could get a bus out to where they are probably, but I haven't looked into that yet. But
Listen, there are two components to sword guy. Okay, women with swords, very cool. Guys with swords, I hope you have something to talk about that's not the sword. Because there's only, and I'm all for info dumping. There's only so much sword talk you can take, and unfortunately, there's an intersection in the Venn diagram between the sword guys and the woke non quote unquote woke nonsense guys, and it's a blade, or it's fucking Jordan Peterson, but sword women, sword lesbians, amazing, massive fan. The arms, love it,
Okay.
big fan of their work. But sword guys, although my friend Keelan is a sword guy, and actually, Keelan is into both swords, historical medieval martial arts, historical European martial arts, and classical history. So the amount of times he needs to reassure people that he is not a fucking Nazi is not a Nazi.
Good to be not good thing to not be. Yeah, there were some women in that group. It was mostly men. I basically was there long enough to get to kind of pass the entrance exam and get the little certificate that they give out.
You got a sword lesbian certificate?
I mean, it has my dead name on it, so not quite.
Oh, well, yeah, you can still call yourself a certified sword lesbian.
And yeah, then lockdown happened, and I have not been back, so
Fair.
I do still have the sword. But yeah, anyway, I was the week there is a Wikipedia article for like the monk's spade. I linked to it in the show notes of the last episode, but also it's like a paragraph long. It has one source, And even just being like a paragraph long, that source does not actually seem to have most of the information that's actually on that page. So, or I think so. It's like the source is a book, a book called The Practice of Chinese Buddhism by Holmes Welch, published in 1973. No specific chapter or page number, but I found the section of the book I think is meant to be the citation, and it doesn't even use the same name as the Wikipedia article. The Wikipedia article is like the Monk's Spade, and this book calls it a pilgrim's shovel, and it does not describe it. It just says it's basically just say they carried a shovel. It does not describe it physically. It does not like talk about fucking martial arts with it. So there's a Wikipedia article of which is like pretty much basically unsourced. You can easily find videos of people like demonstrating martial arts drills with these kinds of things and that. But I do not really know about its real history or anything. More relevant to the podcast though, Xiaowu, and I had seen this before and I just completely forgot while writing and recording the episode. Quick note while I'm editing this, it was Janet who reminded me of this. Thank you, Janet. Is that Xiaowu Jing is often shown having one. Like in the
Oh.
book, he just described as having like a staff. But in like the BBC, or in the like the Japanese oh I can't remember the I can't remember the I can't remember the studio that made it. Sorry, but the Japanese TV show that was dubbed by the BBC as Monkey, has one in that, and he has one in like there's a China Central Television production or show of the book in 1986, and he has that as well. And he has, and like if you look up art of him and like various versions of him, he often has this shovel.
It's for shoveling all the sand.
Well, it's the reason given in the sources I saw was it's actually like traveling monks would carry it to bury dead bodies.
Cool.
If they like found anyone who needed burying while traveling.
Oh, not like traveling companions. Because
No, no.
it seems, from what we've read, to be a high-risk occupation.
Yeah. Tripitaka is to assist, or like human non-magical murder monkey assistants got like immediately killed.
Yeah.
I think they even got names.
Look, as someone who's done PA work, that is not unusual. So
Yeah, that.
no one remembers your name.
Yeah, the. I think the Wikipedia article and all the sources say it's like it was for burying bodies, and then it kind of evolved into this martial arts weapon with this like specific design. But then that Wikipedia article cites a book that basically just says, "And they carried shovels for burying people," and does not describe that at all, unless it was from a different part of the book that I didn't find, because I did not read this entire book just to double check Wikipedia about the badly sourced Wikipedia article. But anyway.
So if you know about these things.
It is definitely like it's definitely a thing. I don't know, like I don't know why I'm being so skeptical about this one thing. Like it's just I can't find many English historical sources about it. Like it's obviously an idea that has existed. It's in a fucking 600-year-old book. It's a concept of a weapon that has certain like very evidently existed in fiction for several hundred years at the very least of a very specific design and type of weapon.
I mean, if you're into weaponry and are not sitting in the center of that weapons enthusiast Nazi diagram, we would like to hear from you.
Yeah, I guess. And anything that's like, yeah, more well cited or well sourced. But let's talk about the actual book again. So
Oh yes, there's a novel.
there is a novel. We're on chapter 64. Insert Mario joke here. And this is going to be a short one, I think, other than my big ramble at the start there, because this chapter heavily revolves around poetry and lots of poems, and I'm not going to read those out. And
What
I'm gonna
cultural riches have we been missing out on because of your distaste for poetry, Quiva?
it's more my distaste for my own voice.
Fair. Not fair. You gotta be, yeah, but I get it. I know. Yeah. See, mine's not working now.
I know you get it. Don't worry.
It's me trying to talk. It's probably a very upsetting sound while recorded. I'll just meow again to clean my palate.
Oh, Sog looked at me when I did that.
He's like, why is this child crying at me?
So anyway, the pilgrims are on the road as usual, and they come across a ridge covered in brambles, creepers, and vines. Fairly impassable to normal people, at least. Wukong jumps up into the air to have a look, and he can't even see the end of it, and he reckons it's over 1,000 li long. But Zhu Baji is hit with an uncharacteristic bout of motivation, and he says he's going to clear that whole path with his rake.
I mean, it was full of creepers. He feels right at home. Hey, I'm here all episode. Sorry.
Did you know that MJ hosts a lot of comedy gigs in a place called Sinead in Dublin? I'm not sure if we've mentioned this on the
Yes,
podcast before.
maybe. I do gigs elsewhere. I have been known to tread the stage microphone thing. Don't tread on the microphone. The jokes. I do them.
They're very good at them.
Yeah, braining to make the words go.
Yeah,
Thank
the podcast, I don't know, is it could be a bit more low energy compared to yourself. Although I know this podcast isn't really low energy.
It's certainly. I almost said it. Yeah. My jokes involve generally a higher degree of anxiety, which is interesting considering that the most of the plot so far has revolved around Tripitaka nearly being eaten a billion times.
Well,
Yeah.
he's going to be subjected to a different threat this time. The
Ah.
threat of poetry.
A Vogon appears in the thicket of brambles. Your kingdom will be demolished to make way for an interspace bypass.
Yeah, well, I mean, Baji is currently clearing a road, basically, for them.
Is Baji a Vogon?
And actually, that makes me. I'll keep going, and I can
Yeah,
circle back
we'll circle back
to
to that.
that
I also have
thought.
several cat facts that I've been sitting on, and you can't unsubscribe from them. But we'll get to them at the end. There's a book we're talking about.
So they go for the whole day. Baji managed to clear over 100 li for them to walk. So that's like the li is about 0.5 kilometer. So they get through about 50 kilometers of brambles and briars and shit. Until they arrive at a small clearing with a stone monument that appropriately names the ridge. The Bramble Ridge.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Below the name is a couplet about how difficult it is to travel this ridge, basically. And
Fuck
but
this ridge.
ba yeah, Baji makes up his own two lines to follow it.
There
All
once was
about
a ridge called Bramble. I used to do poetry.
Yes, exactly. Perfect. about him clearing the road.
So he's composing his own epic song. Oh my God, he doesn't. I know he doesn't deserve an epic poem, but it kind of still makes me a little bit sad that he believes that all he deserves is a couplet.
Oh, he has had a much longer one. All three of the disciples have at various points like recited big long poems about themselves and their backstory and how cool they are. They all have done that at some point, and I think all of them may have done it more than once. Wukong has definitely done it more than once.
Cultural riches.
Where was I? Tripitaka suggests stopping for the night, but Baji wants to keep going.
Fuck this
And
ridge.
they come across a shrine, and they stop there. Wukong doesn't like the look of the place, but Wu Jing thinks there's nothing to worry about. This is the kind of thing they should probably listen to Wukong about, but
Yeah. I mean, if the hyper murder monkey is kind of going, I'm getting some bad vibes here.
Yeah.
The dude with the sense of self-preservation of a coked up lemming is saying, oh, I don't know, you listen to that man or monkey, you get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. So just as Wu Jing is saying, oh, this place seems fine, an old man appears on a gust of wind, and he's followed by a demon attendant with a red beard, scarlet body, and green face.
So not just some guy.
Yeah, he introduces himself as the local spirit of the ridge, and he offers them some food, which Baji is immediately just goes for. But Wukong again doesn't really like the look of this guy, and he attacks him. And when he does, the old man turns into a gust of wind again and carries Tripitaka away. Kidnapping.
Kidnapping. Is he gonna eat him by any chance?
No. There, he's gonna recite poems. I said this already.
Okay.
So when he lands, when
There are
he
poems about
lands,
eating him, right?
no. No, he brings Tripitaka to off to some spot, and he's tells him, he's no, I'm not a bad guy actually. My name is Squire Aiden Ten, and I just brought you here to have a chat about poetry with a few of my friends. Normal thing to do.
Abducted by a demon and brought to what I can only assume is a cross between some sort of modern era salon and an open mic night.
Yeah.
That is torturous. You're correct.
So the friends are Squire Lonesome Rectitude, Master Void Surmounting, and Cloud Brushing Dean.
Cloud brushing Dean.
Yes.
Is he just really tall?
I guess. Yeah, actually, yes. Spoilers, these guys are all trees. They're tree spirits.
Ah, that's kind of cute. The Ents have taken him home to discuss poetry.
Eight and ten is also like a tree-based pun that doesn't translate.
Oh, it's 8 in 10, not
Eight,
eight and
no,
ten.
it's 8 and 10.
Eight and
But
ten.
it's like a pun on the word for pine or something. It doesn't translate at all. And he says his actual name is what he's Squire 8 and 10, but his actual name is Naughty Virtue.
Not.
No, as in
I'm sorry, could
a
you say that
knot,
again?
as in a knot that you would tie, Naughty Virtue.
Okay.
A knot that you would tie in a rope, or perhaps a knot of a tree, probably more likely, but.
Yeah.
You okay? You okay? You doing okay?
We're all good here.
Okay.
Right.
Having fun with the word naughty?
I'm dumb. There's some things you just don't say on a polite
Is
podcast.
this a polite podcast? Is it?
We're good. We're good. We're all good.
Okay.
The poetry ants, with the fun names have taken, sorry. The poetry ants
Would
have
you like to
kidnapped.
meow a bit to help get it out of your system, or?
Oh, cat facts. I'm sure a lot of people know this, but I was once so unemployed I learned how to speak cat. And they meow at you because they think you're a baby. But to adults they trill. But you can't hunt, you're a baby, so they will meow at you. My friend Felix's cat trills at him, and it's just it's funny to see. He's like, ah, I treat you with respect, sir. Yes, we are equals. We are equals. Also, yeah, if you blink at them very slowly, it means I love you. And if they show you their belly, it's just this kind of declaration of I am vulnerable. I'm opening myself up to you because this is the softest part of me that I can be injured here, and I'm saying we're cool. I'm giving you a piece of my heart here, and if you immediately just go and try and tickle their belly, they're just like, I trusted you. Hard on the line, moment of vulnerability. Like they're saying, I loved you, and you're saying, cool, I fucked your sister. It's not an okay thing to do to a cat.
Okay.
I mean, either tickling their belly or, fucking their sister. Yeah, let's move on.
Let's move on.
So back to
So
the ants.
okay, so that edition of Cat Facts has that's a replacement for the entire like main content of this chapter, because I'm not going to go through all the poems they do. They recite a lot of
Okay.
poems. They like
Are there
take
any highlights though?
There's a bit where
Are they good poems at the very least? Like, are we discussing literary themes, or are we at, the spoken word open mic night, clapping politely at the person who bared their soul? But
I don't know. There, I have no basis for judging this style of poem. Like, it's a lot of talking about
or poemy poems.
yeah, I don't know. It's taught like they basically each recite before they're revealed to be trees. They each recite a poem talking about how like old they are, would and like references to nature and very like I don't know, evocative imagery of nature that's like kind of, I guess, hinting at that they're trees in a bunch of ways. And then they like take turns, like basically improving. Like one of them says a line, and then the next one of them says a line, and then the next one of them says a line. At one point, one of them accuses Tripitaka of like basically betraying China by being a Buddhist and like trying to go and like it, seek Buddhist scriptures in India instead. And one of the other guys is, don't listen to him, he's a bollocks.
Sectarian trees, got it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
Leaf it out.
Anthony, you also notes in a footnote that a bunch of these poems are like lifted from other sources.
Plagiarizing ants, okay.
I mean,
Well,
yeah,
fuck that.
are they just quoting?
I'm gonna assume they're plagiaristic ants. It makes me happier. Well, not. It makes me more entertained.
Yeah, so they spend a while like doing poetry and shit. And then a woman named the Apricot Immortal shows up and starts coming on to Tripitaka.
She's barking up the wrong tree there.
But
I should have saved that, but I didn't. Just sitting on it,
Do you ever notice bark, trees have bark as well? Makes you think.
Yeah. What?
Okay,
we're back on the not joke. I just can't. Can I see your cat again, please?
Hold on. Okay, here for MJ and not anyone who can actually listen to this podcast is a video is my webcam pointed at my cat. Everyone, if everyone in your mind's eye imagine a webcam pointed or a webcam
It is a webcat. It's a cat on the web.
A webcam video of a cat of a white cat staring
so regal
disinterestedly into the middle distance.
I'd die for her. If you subscribe to Patreon, we can give you Asog updates.
Oh.
Form a parasocial connection with Quiva's cat.
Jesus Christ. Or also you could listen to some bonus episodes like me discussing Dragon Ball with my friend Jen.
Cat.
And sometimes cat pictures, yes, when I remember to do that.
Yeah. You're gonna be a star, kid.
Okay.
Talking to the cat, not you.
So yeah, all the other trees start pressuring Tripitaka into marrying Apricot Immortal.
She just got here.
Yeah, he actually gets really pissed off about this, starts shouting at them.
Don't pimp out your poetry audience. You want them to come back.
Yeah, while they're doing this, the disciples show up looking for him. And everyone else, all the poetry ants and Apricot Immortal all disappear. And they look around to find them, but all that's there is a bunch of trees. And Wukong quickly realizes the thing that I already spoiled, which is that the guys that Tripitaka was talking to were all actually tree spirits. So Naughty Virtue is a pine. Lonesome Rectitude is a cypress. Void Surmounting is a juniper. And cloud brushing is the bamboo. The red demon that Naughty Virtue had with him was a maple tree, and Apricot Immortal was obviously the apricot tree.
I was just wondering if there was like a festival of the immortal apricots where everyone just has a good time.
They all read poetry, yeah. Arrange some marriages.
Dried apricots are full of iron. I mean, he'd be in apricots for years. You know, those fruits are expensive.
So, after hearing this anyway, Baji just starts knocking over the trees with his snout. He just, like, headbutts the trees down. Which causes, when they fall over, blood spurts out from their roots as he kills them. And Tripitaka is kind of horrified and tells them to stop.
Yeah!
They didn't actually do him any harm in the end.
They just read poetry at him and tried to set him up on a bad date.
Yeah. And Wukong's like, oh, no, it's fine. They would have become fiends and harmed a lot of people if we don't kill them. So it's fine if we kill them. So Baji kills the rest of them, and that's the end of the chapter.
So demons, you know, Red Boy, these overpowered monster spirits. Fucking Wukong is just like, hell yeah, just let me at him. Let me get out my rod, let me sort this shit out.
He doesn't even do anything. Baji's the one who actually kills them all. Wukong is just like, no, it's fine. It's fine that we murder them. Doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah, but I don't know. Baji hates poetry that much, huh?
Yes, yeah.
This tracks. Look at the cat.
Riveting, fucking.
This audio only medium. Yeah. This is my new set. I'm just going to go up and meow for for 10 minutes and occasionally laughing at jokes that exist only in my head.
Okay. Great,
Alt
great episode,
comedy.
everyone.
Yeah,
Ship it.
have a great
Perfect.
day.
Go read some poems to some trees.
Or with some trees. Or under some trees, if you're into that.
You're into being under a tree?
Well, because he was trying to set Tripitaka up with the apricot
That's
tree.
true.
Yeah.
Go fuck an apricot tree. That's the takeaway.
Splinters!
That's the
Splinters!
takeaway from this episode. Go find an apricot tree and have sex with it.
Just like, if the ant is coming on to you, just to, yeah, I mean, if you're into that, go. The ant wives all fucked off.
They're very lonely, yes.
They're very lonely trees. I mean, if you are into it, if you've hit it off with a particularly sexy birch, you go. Nobody's getting hurt there, you know?
I think the show's gone on too long. I think we're going insane. Anyway, next time, episode or chapter 65, fiends set up the small thunderclap. The four pilgrims all meet a great ordeal.
Fuck it, there was a wood joke in there! There was a wood joke, and I didn't. Ah! Anyway, yeah, there'll be more book next time. Have a great day.
Bye.